Welcome back to another episode of Blockchain Boys. I am MPE3, as always, here with my esteemed co-host and colleague, NFT Hook,
aka yes, sir.
John Henson.
Yes, sir.
And today, we are joined by a very special guest, Jackson Schembecker, who is not only the owner of three, as of last night, Bored Apes, but also the owner of, six doodles?
Got six doodles, yes.
Six doodles. We got two M2 serums. We got two Bored Ape Kennel Clubs. And, I mean, you've
collection's still growing.
You've only been in the NFT space since November. But
yeah, I've been in it for 9 months now, but only purchased a couple months ago. And, it's went very fast.
It's the right way to do it.
A quickly growing legend in the space. Jackson, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and a little bit of your background and crypto and kind of how you got involved and kind of what led you to buying these JPEGs for
absolutely
a lot of money.
So I've been in the crypto space as a whole for just over 4 years now. We're coming in on five this summer. And I've really just been buying for years and years and years now. And so I first got in 2017 before the big hype wave towards the end in Q4. And so I was making a lot of money right away. I mean, I'm 18 now, but it was, ironically, I was only 14, but I was doing this and I was doing it full time. That's all I did, right? I think my tagline now is that I did four things that first semester. I played baseball, I got straight A's, I played music, Fortnite, and then that's it. That was it. And then the addition was crypto, right? And that's all I did for years and years and years straight. And so I was a freshman in high school starting with just $20. And I hit 20 to 50K in that first Q4. And I was like crushing it. I was like, oh my God, I just made the teacher salary. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm 14.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. More money than you've ever seen.
I know, it was unreal. Yeah, really, really good feeling. And then 2018 hit and I got slammed, right? I mean, I was down 80% pretty much across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin was tanking. And of course, Bitcoin was the light one, even though it was 80%. The alts practically died. It was horrible.
I was in Bitcoin at that time. My account went down and my financial guy calls. He goes, hey, what do you want to do? I said, as soon as it goes even, get me out of there. You know what I'm saying? And so I was right there with you.
Yeah. But the biggest thing was, so I was so young and I didn't even like have that real concept of money. That the biggest thing was that I did the exact opposite and I just bought more and more and more.
For sure. For sure.
So we were going all throughout 2018 and I'm just dipping as much money as I possibly can into this. And I mean, I'm buying Bitcoin sub 4K. I'm buying Ethereum at $150, $200. I mean, I'm just loading up, piling and piling, getting some of those 2017 Q2, Q3 prices back. Mm-hmm. And I was all about it. And I was like, listen, it's not dying. I have faith. I've done research. I believe in this. It's going to happen.
For sure.
And I mean, believe it or not, then it goes 2019, the portfolio hit six figures, everything happens. And then 2020 was the big year. Of course, it took off. And when I was a freshman in high school, I set this goal. I was like, guys, I'm going to hit 500K before I graduate high school. And they're all laughing at me, making fun of me. And they're like, no, you're not.
It's
and I'm
crazy
like,
crypto.
I know, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I was like, guys, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to buy this magic internet money. That's all it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are like, no way. And sure enough, I hit 500K my senior year of high school. We hit that seven-figure mark. It was amazing. Started getting national recognition, got in a bunch of podcasts, news articles, all over, got on a magazine out in LA, did really, really well on that, and then turned that exposure. And the next thing was, what was I going to do with that exposure?
Mm-hmm.
So we took this momentum and I started writing a book about 9 months ago, just released it a couple weeks ago. It's called The Crypto Kid. We did really, really well. Just had a book signing a couple weeks ago. Actually, no, just last week.
Really?
And yeah, we crushed the book signing.
Movie coming or what?
Actually, so we crushed the book signing, standing room only, did really well with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now the two next things, so number one, I'm launching a hedge fund. Can't technically be named fund, but it's going to be a hedge fund. That's what it is. I got 10 million assets under management. It'll be happening very soon, ideally within the next 2-3 weeks. But the way these RIAs and all these structures work, that could be drawn out into a couple of
100%.
Months. It's brutal.
Yeah.
But we're getting that lined up again, 10 million on lock. Everything's really great with that. And then we actually are kind of in stage zero with the movie.
I was going to say, man, it's a crazy story. Like just, and I feel like a lot of people, some kids have that same type of story and they may not have managed it as well as he did. So that's pretty dope.
Man. Yeah, wow. Absolutely. It was a lot of just right place, right time, a little bit of luck, but then the persistence too. I mean, I know hundreds and hundreds of people that did exactly what I did, but they ran away in 2018 and I stuck with it and I just kept rolling and rolling and rolling and doing it and saying, listen, if this goes to zero, it's going to be a very, very expensive learning lesson. And that's it. That's all I viewed it as. And I was like, if it goes to zero, I'm 15. Who cares? Yeah, I got my life. It's all good.
Once my account 3X'd.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Got up out of there. But you know what I mean? So, nah, that's dope, man. Hey, it's the definition of huddle.
No, exactly.
I mean, you had conviction and you know, exactly. Stuck with it. So tell me how you first got into crypto. Like what you know, kind of piqued your interest? Was there someone that, you know, helped you along the way?
For sure. There definitely was one guy. So I was, again, freshman in high school. It was the first week, actually. There was a brilliant guy in one of my orchestra classes. It was one of those freshman through senior classes. Mm-hmm. So he was a senior at the time. This guy is brilliant. I'm talking like perfect GPA throughout the entirety of high school. He's working on supercapacitor technology right now. He's all about like tech, very forward thinking and things like that. And this guy was talking about crypto that very first week. Like, I mean, you know the crypto guys. Sure, you just always talk about crypto. That's what you
do,
right?
For sure.
And so he was in it, I think 2015, 2016. His coin was XRP. He got it at a quarter, and this is 2017. So he was trading at $3. Mm-hmm. And this guy 12X'd his money, jumping up and down. He's on top of the world, right? And I was like, wow, this guy's pretty smart. He's pretty cool, right? He's on top of this. And I was like, let me do some research. And after that, I was all on my own, really. But it took that pivotal figure in which he knew what he was talking about. And I believed in him. And so I kind of try and do the same thing for other people. Like if you see someone who's smart and someone who's doing well, you should probably follow them. Just a little bit, right?
100%.
But there's a big difference there. You can't just follow blindly. You have to do your own research and you have to continue yourself, right, as an individual. And so that's what I did. I went home. I got every single book I could on Amazon, every single article on Cointelegraph.com for more than 4 years I've read. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking not just headlines, actually reading the articles, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's what I do. And I just kept researching YouTube videos. I mean, everything from the really intelligent guys that are still around now to the scammers, I was watching it. Like, it didn't matter. I was just consuming information. And that's kind of how I got into it. And then I stuck with it. And I mean, 4.5 years later now, got a very substantial portfolio and got into NFTs as well.
No, I mean, that's awesome. You know, just to hear your journey and you know, how you've, you know, basically, you know, were intrigued by it, you know, went home, did your own research, you know, figured it out for yourself, which, I mean, that's kind of the name of the game. I feel like in crypto, like, you know, you have to do like, you know, Gary Vee said in an interview recently, he's like, he was speaking for NFTs, but I think the same thing is true for crypto. He's like, it takes at least, you know, 50 hours of hard fought research. And that's like baseline.
Mm-hmm. It's the biggest thing. Yeah.
Just to, you know, figure out, because this is a difficult, you
it
know,
is,
blockchain
it is.
Technology is not easy to understand. Yeah. Like, I mean, I was very late to the crypto game. Yeah. Like, you know, I didn't get into crypto until I started working for a crypto hedge fund, you know, back in February of 2020 or 2021.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, I had always looked at Bitcoin kind of as, you know, I was just skeptical. Number go up, like, what, like, what's going on? But then once I actually delved in and like did my research,
for sure,
you know, found out like everything about it, like, you know, I feel like the light finally clicked. And it's great that you were able to do that at such a young age.
Yeah.
I mean,
so dope, bro.
He's 18 years old and I mean, his wallet shits on my
head. I was going to say, I mean, just, I think the knowledge of the space that you have, just, you know, it's impressive, bro. You know, he should teach some classes, you know? And like right now everybody's kind of into it, but you know, like, man, you know what I'm saying? Like the books and all that, that's pretty dope, man.
Yeah. The book was a big project. Cause everyone kept asking me and I was like, listen, I don't really want to teach you guys. I don't have time like that. Like I'm also playing baseball at the University of Tampa. Yeah. Like I'm in college taking classes, even though I don't want to, like I still have other obligations, right? I can't just sit here and teach you. So that was the whole idea of the book. That I could just put this out, like I'll give you one. I don't care about the money. You take a book, it doesn't matter to me. But you can get that easy foundational knowledge on a level that you can actually relate. Yeah. Some of these kids are young, some of these kids aren't, and they can still get in because I play sports, I play music. I did all these different things that are somewhat relatable. There's the heartfelt story with the divorce in there. So some people, 50% of Americans can relate to that, right? Those are just the stats. So there's something in that book in which you can relate to. And if you can take anything away from that and be like, I learned something, or at least I related to the story, I think it made it all worth it. Right.
That's awesome.
For sure.
And I get, talk to us a little bit about, you know, you're in high school.
Yes.
Not only are you, you know, a stud athlete, a pitcher on the baseball team.
Right.
You're a violinist.
Yes.
Right. Like, and like an incredible violinist, straight A's.
Yeah.
And you're you know, crushing a crypto portfolio, and yeah. you're having time to play Fortnite.
Of course,
like, yeah. How were you able to manage all these things?
No, yeah, time management really is huge. Honestly, there were a lot of sleepless nights. No, definitely. I mean, my days then and now, I mean, they start at 6-7 a.m. right, and there's not a lot of wiggle room on that. But you get up, you go to school, you do your thing. After school, you're playing baseball that evening, and then you have the decision of what do you want to do after. Right. And so I think that applies to everyone. Your 9 to 5, whatever it is that your daily obligation is, afterwards you get off and you get to decide what you want to do. Right. Most people are going to waste that time. You watch Netflix, you do YouTube, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's leisure time. And I'm not saying that's bad. I mean, mm-hmm. that's 99% of America. And there needs to be a 99%. Yep. If everyone's not, then it's that much harder to get to the 1%. Right. Yep. But what I did most of the time, and don't get me wrong, I had plenty of time for leisure as well. But what I did is after that at 8, 9 o'clock, then you start your day on crypto. Then you start your day on whatever you're doing to practice, right? It can be anything from just reading, as I mentioned before, to actually executing trades, to doing anything, right? And so those days would start then. And I mean, they were really long days. A lot of it was just reading. But there are hundreds and hundreds of nights up till 2, 3, and 4 a.m. And I'm talking like, I know because I'm trading in the London market, and these things are just brutal, right? Mm-hmm. But the London sessions opens at that time. That's what it is, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you have to be awake to trade in the session. Like that's mm-hmm. what it is,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And so, I mean, I spent hundreds and hundreds of hours doing that, and the skill set just continued to develop to the point where now, like obviously I was successful and everything, but I had built enough trust to where these are accredited investors that want to give me millions and millions of dollars to manage my own portfolio. Like that was a skill set that took years to develop. It was not easy, right? But it's been more than 4 years now. I mean, think about it. People spend more than 4 years in college all the time. I did the exact same thing just on my own time with my mm-hmm. own determination, doing my own game, right? And it turned out really, really well. But that was it.
Dude, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I just, seriously. Like, when we first had our first conversation yeah. on the phone, when you know we were talking about, you know, you buy it.
Yes, yeah, we can go back to that conversation because I think it's very important, right? Like I'd been in the space for 6 months prior, yeah. but I hadn't made a purchase. Yeah. So what did I do? I didn't just, I called someone I knew who was in the space and said, what do you think? Now I was going to buy it, even if you said no, but I wanted confirmation, right?
For sure.
No, 100%, dude. And no, it was great to, you know, first of all, have you reach out yeah. and, you know, get to, you know, look and, you know, analyze these apes with you because,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
I don't have at the time 50 Ethereum to spend yeah. on that board ape, right. but you do. And it was just yeah. as fun for me to help you,
for sure.
you know,
it's great.
Pick
yeah.
that out. And then the fact that it was Casey Neistat.
I know, it made it that much ape. Better. I didn't even know that too.
That was incredible. And then yeah. he responded on Twitter.
Dude. Yeah, we were having a full conversation that same night. Yeah, it was great.
Dude, I mean, that's just fire. Incredible. So yeah, Casey Neistat, I mean, we were just looking through the ape and, you know, he told me what number it was. It was yeah. the service ape. Was it 1788.
Yeah. You click on this, is Luca Brasi. He goes, I think that's Casey Neistat.
I clicked on his wallet and it was, yeah, Casey Neistat. So yeah. I was like, damn, that's incredible. but just, I feel like that is, you know, what's so cool about NFTs and blockchain yes. technology. Like, you know, earlier we were talking about, you know, Justin Bieber buying the ape.
Yep.
And the fact that, you know, from people that are in NFTs,
yep.
Looking at that, it was a little confusing, right?
It was, because yeah. It was you like, have to look at it, yeah.
You know, like a bottom 30% rarity ape
for
that
sure, yeah.
he paid.
Everyone
know,
was saying it's a floor ape. Why are you paying
floor?
5x floor? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but the thing is, with blockchain technology and the fact that everything has that digital signature,
yeah,
that ape, I feel like, I mean if Bieber ever sells that,
oh dude, my goodness, bro.
Like.
Yeah.
To somebody to say, I bought Justin Bieber's ape.
Exactly.
I mean, like, I feel like the floor now has got to be at least
1,000. It has value. It does.
Bro,
it does.
I was, because we were talking about it earlier and like before you arrived, and I said, that's the coldest play in the game right there. You get a bottom rarity ape and you put your, you know, and you get it because it means something to you,
yep.
right? And now you created a value in this ape that it didn't have, and you've just helped out the whole community. You've lifted up the whole community. And so, like, I think that's so dope. You know what I mean? I think, you know, it was a cold play. Like, I like that, though. It was a savvy move. You know what I mean?
100%. And then, you know, he backed that up with doing a little doodle.
I saw that. I saw his wallet. He went
the
crazy.
The only question I have is Bieber wallet watching our boy Jackson?
Bieber's got to be wallet watching, or he's ranking watching. Who knows?
I'm telling you, I really do enjoy the Doodle project. I was watching this months and months ago before I even made that first purchase. But I was really passionate about the artwork. I mean, before I did any of that research, I was looking at it and I go, all right, well, if you kind of look at the outlier in the top 10 at the time, I thought it was Doodles. We had the Bored Apes. You had obviously all the offshoots of the Bored Apes that are actually like verified projects, the Mutants, the Serums, the Kennel Club. But then you have all the others that are gorilla, apey, very masculine traits, right? And all that stuff. And I was like, what about this colorful Doodles, right? Exactly. And I looked at them and I liked them and I was like, you know what? Let's buy some, right? But obviously that's followed by like Burnt Toast and the project and the team behind it being incredible. And then Doodles going to space. And no, these aren't like Bored Apes and they don't have a whole yacht club that you get private invites to parties and stuff. It's not. But that's why the Ethereum, it's worth less, right? And I bought a couple and then I bought some more. And I mean, now I'm holding six of them. And I have no plans to sell them in, I mean, you never know, honestly. They get to 50 floor, I might have to think about it. But I really do enjoy the projects. And that's just what I'm looking for, projects that I'm passionate about and that I like the artwork and then throw some Ethereum at it.
No, 100%. And it's funny you bring up Doodles because, you know, the network that me and John are a part of at this show is called Non-Fungible Network,
okay.
NRN. And you know, a lot of the people within that team of this network have a lot of Doodles that like they had conviction like from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think like most of them like minted, I mean like 3-4,
yeah. Oh, I love it.
Like were like they basically, you know, a couple people got whitelisted and then to make sure everyone like was able to get at least one mint, like, yep. You know, we're like helping everybody out.
So it's awesome.
It's just cool. And you know, I learned so much about Doodles after we joined them, but it was almost like it was too late. I was like, I could have got one, but it was like, it would have like had me dry on the rest of my liquidity.
Yeah.
That's like our, every episode he gets a nice little.
Yeah,
that was a big thing for me, just being involved in crypto, because I already had the funds in the sense that everything was already sitting in Ethereum, and so my way of looking at it was that I already own the Ethereum. It's not a big deal. All I have to do is now just invest Ethereum and watch the Ethereum multiply. And so when I looked at it from that standpoint, I was like, it's still just Ethereum. I just have to try and invest in something that I think is going to generate more. That's it.
And that was my kind of thinking, like, you know, when I see this act, cause like, I mean, I'm sitting back on the Bored Apes, just watching, you know, and from the sidelines, but you know, maybe one day. And, I was telling him, I said, it's gotta be people that are just, you know, have this Ethereum sitting in their wallet and it's kind of like an investment, right? Yeah. Like, you know, Ethereum right now is super volatile, right? So why not get into something that hasn't went down? And you
that
know,
was the big thing.
You know what I'm saying? And just, you know, it helps because the floor steadily rose even as Ethereum went down and it rose as it went up.
That was huge.
And so like I was telling my boys, because we talk every morning, we have a group chat called the Metaverse. Yeah. And I was like, I wonder what's going to happen when Ethereum, which it will go back up eventually.
Yeah.
What's going to happen when Ethereum rises? Does the floor drop or does the floor raise? I think that's like the next
huge question. Yeah.
Yes. You know what I mean?
And I think the thought process is the exact same thing because it's almost a secondary investment. Mm-hmm. Like we put our fiat in and we invested in Ethereum.
Yep.
And then we used our Ethereum invested in something else. Yep. Right. Yep. And that's what I viewed it as. And I thought that was huge. Right. Mm-hmm. When this whole market's just tanking. Right.
Yep.
And I mean, we've done this long enough that it doesn't matter anymore. You just buy more. Right.
Yeah, right.
But it's down. It's getting slaughtered. Right. I mean, it's 4,000 not too long ago. And we're sitting at 20. I think it got down to 2,200 mm-hmm. something in there. I was unloading lots and lots of US dollars.
Right? Yeah.
Touched the two. Yeah.
It touched 21. Yeah. My boy got in at 21.
Yeah. Yep. I was buying at 22 and 21. I had a massive order open at 2,000. Never filled. So sad.
No, I know. For sure. For sure.
But just buying. And then you get to unload in this secondary project that lets the Ethereum itself grow. And it's like, I view this better than staking and validating and doing all that, right? Like, I think it's better. I don't have to do anything. I just collect art. And I have this profile that allows me to do other things, right? Mm. The Bored Apes has perks, but not only like, I've had like some people with like more than 200,000 followers on Instagram reach out simply because I own a Bored Ape.
Mm.
Like, that's ridiculous to me. Like, it makes no sense, right? But that's the whole game. I mean, the ape I just got last night, the Ben Simmons, the basketball player, just got one that looks just like it. And I was looking at it forever and ever. And I was about to pull the trigger and then he bought it. And I was like, oh, I guess I got to find another one that's similar. And I got one that looks just the same. But That's the whole project. Yeah.
No, that's sweet. That's a beautiful ape with the.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. He's got the robot eyes, the pipe, and then the fisherman hat.
So you know what else? You know what other project Ben Simmons is part of?
Oh, what? I don't know.
The gutter cat gang.
Okay. Yeah, yes.
The gutter dog.
Knew we had to talk a little. Yeah, of course. Gutter, so,
he got the gutter dog.
I mean, you know, the floor's getting up.
What's
there.
The floor at right now?
It's two shit.
Yeah.
I think we're what? 7.75.
Oh, okay. Man. So, what was it before when you were telling me about
it? It dropped like five, bro. Like
four, five.
Yeah,
four?
Okay.
Yeah. I was just trying to give you some lore. But, you know, so they have, they're launching the Gutter Cat DAO, similar okay. to, you know, as Bored Ape.
Yep. 4.75.
Launching 8.75 right now. Token
yeah.
That you can, you know, stake and earn yep. 8. The Gutter Cat Gang is launching Gang Token,
okay.
where cats are going to be the first NFTs that are able to stake. However, there are only 3,000 cats.
Okay.
Compared
yeah, because it's 3333, right?
Yep. Yeah. So we got a little supply shock. Yeah. So, but yeah, so Ben Simmons, he bought a like, top 100 rarity gutter dog for like I think okay. like 2.75. Mm-hmm. I think this was back like a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah, wow, yeah.
But he got in.
He had it on his Instagram for a little minute. I don't know if it's still his profile pic, but no, it's just interesting to
it's
see.
It's the
know,
ape now.
fair. But no, it's just great to see, you know, all these people coming into the space.
Of course,
and,
yeah.
I mean, even the gutter, like, you know, obviously it's not, you know, as hyped as, you know, Doodles or, you know, Bored Apes, but like, you know, me and John went down to the Gutter Cat Outpost for Art Basel weekend.
Yeah.
And like, not only was John a professional athlete there, but Chris Humphries was there.
There's a soccer guy there. I forget his name.
Cassie.
Yeah. He was there. It was dope.
But no, it was sweet. Jonah Bolden, who's a, you know, former
I saw
NBA
that.
Player.
I saw that.
You know, he's very involved in Smiles as well. Which
okay.
RIP for us getting out of Smiles way too
early. What? Hey, you know, like, I'm one of those guys, so, like, my boys always, like, get so mad at me because I'm the guy that, like, I take my money and I go because I always have other investments. Like, I'm paper hands. Hey, I do VC funds and, you know, type of things. So, like, you know, I can't necessarily put all I want into it because I have other obligations per se. And so, you know, even with like Ethereum, like I got it early, took it out, put more back in, took it out. You know what I mean? Just because that's just, I don't know. That's just how I am. So if I'd have gotten it 2017, you know, man, it might have been a little.
Bought that dip in 2018.
Right. Kept buying the dip.
We're just going to have to get Jackson on speed dial. Next time there's a dip, it's like, all right, yo, where are we buying?
It's always just buy the dip. It's so simple. Yeah.
No, same with stocks too, man.
Whatever we're bleeding, you buy in. That's
So Crypto Crier, who is our like NRN's resident DeFi and crypto coin guru.
Yeah.
You know, charting just everything. Basically I ask him, I go, all right, where's this going to? where should I buy?
Yeah.
Like, but you know, now I'm gonna start at the
sounds
you know,
good
the conversation. So you know, you brought up you know, that you look at this favorable to, you know, DeFi and staking protocols. In your journey, like, I know obviously you probably didn't see much of it early on. Just because you're probably playing with, you know, less capital. But as you started to grow that capital and these crypto assets, did you look to some of these DeFi products and kind of put some in there? And
yeah, I've definitely looked a little bit, I'm going to say, but most of it I haven't gotten into only because I do view it as now that I have more capital to risk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not okay with the amount of risk. And like, I have a guy that I play poker with all the time and he's just an absolute whale, right? And then this guy's all about the Phantom Network and the Phantom DAO, right? And this guy was talking to me a couple weeks ago and he was crushing like 10K a day in Ethereum, right? And he's doing whatever he wants with that Ethereum, right? But the stability there, I think most of the time, it's not there, right? And so I'm not comfortable with that, especially if there's lockup periods and different things, right? And that the Phantom Network, and so like he lost, I think, like 60% in this last month with the dip, right?
Yeah.
And that's just something I'm not comfortable with yet in the DAO space, being that like I don't like if Bitcoin or Ethereum goes down 60%, it doesn't matter to me. I'm just gonna hold and then it'll be back in 6 months. It's not a big deal. I can't confidently say that yet with DAOs. And it's not that I'm right or wrong, it's just I'm not okay with that risk yet.
I guess just outside of like the DAOs, like for example, like maybe like Ethereum staking.
Yep.
So like,
okay, you know, yes.
Yeah. Stuff like more.
I have certainly, yes, I've done, so I was thinking about, I'll take this question in two different ways kind of. So I've definitely staked Cardano heavily. Hundreds and thousands of Cardano staking. It's great. I mean, I get paid every day on it. It's nice. Well, every 30 days, but same thing, right? But I don't cash it out. I don't touch it. I reinvest everything. It sits there. It multiplies. I love it. It's great. And I'm a big, big Cardano fan. I've been involved. So that was my biggest winner. I got in Cardano at a penny. And yeah, bought a lot too. So been crushing that.
That's sick.
Unloaded some at $2.10. And now we're at a dollar. I bought a ton more at 98 cents the other day. So already up on that. And then it's all long term still. So I'm really passionate about Cardano. I've done Cardano staking. I was going to pull the trigger over the summer on setting up an Ethereum node, but the only thing is the lockup period. And I think that I can do better in the long run investing in NFTs and investing, and not only even investing in NFTs, just simply selling these tops, buying the dips, right? And yeah. I feel like I can do better than that, even accounting for the taxation. I think I could do better than these lockup periods. Because here's the thing, if we're locking up the Ethereum and it's generating interest, it is. Let's say, all right, whatever the number is you want to pick. Mm-hmm. It depends on the node and the efficiency and everything and kind of how everything works, right? But then you have the overhead of making sure that that works. You have to validate. You have to make certain things. Even if you automate it, you have to go through the process of automating or paying a guy to automate it, right? Yeah. And that's something I simply wasn't interested in doing. When if we dip 40% and I can take advantage of like a 20% spread on that, I just made what I would have made staking or validating or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I've stayed away from it. I don't necessarily say that as advice though, only because I'm very active in this space. And I think a lot of people with these big capital like portfolios, they are not.
Facts.
And so I would say it's a better play to stake and be passive in that sense if you're not watching it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would advise that for more than 80% of people, unless you're on this every day. And like, it's what we do.
D-gen,
D-gen. Like all we do is just sit on OpenSea every day in hoodies. Like, yeah, that's what we do, right?
Yeah,
and then we make more money than the Goldman Sachs guys sometimes. And yeah, it is what it is. It's fun, right?
Now they're buying, right?
We were
at the memory NFT Basel, Miami. And we were like sitting down and you could just see apes just all, you know, people were just looking at apes all under us. So we're just like, this could be something, you know what I'm saying?
It was really cool. And
I was
out there at Art Basel as well, and it was a great time. And you could really see, I mean, it's Miami, right? So, but you could see that crypto community and that NFT community coming together. And what was interesting, I found, is that a lot of the people that didn't know about certain things in whatever these projects are, and keep in mind, that's like everyone. There's always going to be a project in Miami in these hubs that you don't know. But I found that most people gravitated towards NFTs and crypto rather than other VC company big startups, right? So if you had a health project, like I'm not even kidding on this. I had a company that was pitching about trying to cure cancer and doing cancer research and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the line for their booth, which was right next to a crypto booth, was minuscule in comparison. And I think that's important to note. I really do. And that's not like to put anyone down, but that's where the hype is right now. Whether you're young or old, I mean, I was talking with a billionaire home office guy. And the most excited he was focused on, the most excitement he had was about the crypto projects and the NFTs. I mean, he's going to be one of my first calls when we have all the details together for the fund, right?
Because
that's what these people want to see. They're seeing that we're losing 15% to inflation, and that not only is this the standard hedge against inflation, the buzzwords that you hear every day, but this is something that can be huge.
Right.
And the upside, we haven't even reached it yet, I think. Like everyone talks about that gold market cap compared to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But if it happens, I mean, which I think it will in the next 10 years or less, really. And I know that sounds like forever in crypto terms when we're making 20% in one day on Bored Apes, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's going to happen. And I think that's very huge. And if you can set aside those big amounts of capital and just let it ride in Bitcoin, Ethereum, whatever you want, I really think that you're going to hit the jackpot on some of these. I really do.
Yeah. I think my biggest question would be like, you know, when I talked about like, what is, you know, on certain NFTs, right? Like an ape or something.
Yes.
What is the like cap? Like what goes up must come down.
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think one of the biggest things for me is that two word question, when sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost a meme in this community now, right? But I think for me, I know. I just bought like these apes. It's ridiculous. I mean, I got mine at the first one at 52 and I was like, I could sell right now for more than double. That is amazing. This is less than 60 days, right? I mean, this is really, really great. And we're January, so I could defer my taxes till 18 months later. Like we're killing it, right?
Yeah.
but then it's going to go up 20 Ethereum tomorrow and I'm going to be sitting there and I'm going to be very upset. So I think that really, really comes down to what I think that this project is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I see it as being a massive project in the space. Okay. I like, cause you looked at CryptoPunks, right? And this was the OG, this was the 2017, mm-hmm. like this is what it was. And the apes flipped that. And they're crushing it now, mm-hmm. right? And so
just flip it, like,
yeah, and took off, right?
Yeah.
And I see them keep going, like just continuously going up, and all of the hate that's in the area where like people call them ugly and everything, the community shuts it down and continues to buy. They don't care. Yeah. Even the floor apes, the ugly apes, people love them, and they really really enjoy it. And if that's their only ape, they're gonna have it as their profile pic, and they love it. It doesn't matter, right? Yeah. And that's gonna be a staple in this community, and we get into this whole metaverse thing, and. I think like when you just look at Facebook, if they're behind this to the degree that they want to change their name that's widely known worldwide, mm-hmm. I think there's a big play there, right? Right. And so going back to the question, I'm probably going to hodl for life right now.
I was going
to
say, the guests we've had on this show, bro, it's so crazy because, you know, bro, in 10 years, bro,
yes.
like in 10 years, like somebody's going to go up on his YouTube channel and see this and be like, I feel like, yo, they had him on the show. Like, right, like literally, like even Franklin,
like Forbes, 30.
Yeah, it's like Forbes $30 to $30 billion dollar crypto
one of the
fund.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he's on his way, or like even Franklin, right? Like where he's owning all these apes and he's Absolutely. Into the space, or Gallardo, where he's ASAP Rocks creative director and he has a project. Like, I really think like we're so ahead of the times of what's about to happen because, and I was looking at this like article and like I think. Taiwan has like most people with NFTs. I think they have 23%. I think the US is like 4% of people own NFTs. Mm. And it's mind blowing, right? Because everybody we know talks about it every day. we have a podcast
it's
on
like,
it.
We like, are the 4%.
We have a group chat and we're sending stuff through there every day. Like, so it's just like in 10 years, like if we could just For get sure. 30% of people, it's going to be, the inventory is going to be the same.
Yep. You got it. No, 100%.
So it's just, oh,
and, you know, just recently, like, ever since I feel like, you know, this, let's call it this new bull run, ever since January 1st started, for mm-hmm. just the overall NFT market, because, you know, Bored Apes were, god damn, sorry, technical difficulties as always.
You got some Jeopardy music back there?
There we go.
That might be cool.
Like, but, you know, so Bored Apes are...
You're saying how like Bored Apes have all like kind of always been blue chips.
Yeah. So, you know, Bored Apes are these blue chips, but that was built by, you know, this community.
Yes.
And, you know, the reason I feel that, you know, they flipped punks and just completely took off is just because when you look at the two in comparison, you know, right, the punks, they don't have IP rights over their assets. You know, whether they, you know, use them or not, like spotty Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't care. On the cover of this, all this music.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, like, the other thing is Larva Labs, like, they just don't really interact with that community.
And I completely agree.
I feel like that is, like, one of the main drivers of value in this space.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
It's huge.
Obviously, you know, I feel like they're almost two different value theories almost.
Yep.
You know, CryptoPunks is like historical art and Bored Apes is like the new like global country club.
I agree.
That,
yeah.
You know, everybody can be a part of, and especially, you know, when they build this you know, Miami Bored Ape clubhouse.
Yeah, like, I know.
You know, we're definitely gonna have to hit you up
and still people like the main, like if you go on the street, right, and you ask people, hey, do you know what an NFT is? You might get 4 out of 10,
no,
5 out of 10.
I think less.
Less, right?
Yes.
And then I was going to go with, do you know what a doodle is? Do you know what a gutter cat is? What about a Bored Ape? How about the, like, or like CryptoPunk? And you probably get 1 out of 10, right?
Yeah. No,
and so it's,
almost
it's,
none.
It's, hey.
When I bought my first Bored Ape and I talked about like purchase price, it was $207. Mm. People thought $207, if anything. Like,
yeah,
they had no one, like, they can't even imagine spending more than like a couple hundred bucks on a JPEG. They don't get it. And I think that we're so biased just because this is what we do on a day to day that we don't even understand that like no one's thinking about this. Right. They're going to their regular 9-to-5 job. They're not thinking about even crypto. Mm-hmm. So then you go a subset of crypto. There's no way. And so there's still this massive market that still needs to be tapped into.
But the thing is that I feel is really interesting about the NFT market in general. And, you know, you can definitely weigh on this opinion, how you feel about it. But I feel like that, you know, this is very similar to like 2017 Bitcoin with just, you
yes,
know,
I would agree.
And I guess for a good example, like, let's talk about just the apes.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like the apes, like, I think there was a news article the other day. It was like, the apes are like the new digital gold. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of, you know, Bitcoin, it's like, you know, that is a community that, you know, the value is driven, you know, one by the scarcity aspect, which we see come up, you know, again and again in the crypto space with Bitcoin, with the cap supply, with Ethereum having the deflationary, you know, mechanism with the new upgrade and, you know, switching to proof of stake in 2.0. But, you know, just the fact that Yuga Labs is driving that value by interacting with their community, hearing what they want. And on the other side of that, I feel like, you know, Larva Labs is just sitting on their bags.
They do nothing, yeah.
You know?
And I think that's a huge driving force in the ape community. Like, we just had a mobile game come out where you could only play if you were a holder. That was really, really cool. And they got that done fast. They have the results. I mean, they killed it in that.
How was the game?
People loved the game. I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, but just the fact that like you could experience this, and the only way you could experience it is if you go pay $300,000 for an ape. Like, that's it, right? And it's become this benchmark for the new standard in which the only people that can have access are rich people, celebrities, and early adopters. Mm-hmm. That's it, right? And if you have to fall into one of those three categories. Right. And if you're the early adopter, you get to now communicate with the other two categories that you couldn't do before, which is fascinating to me, right?
Right.
And the early is subjective. Again, like some people are going to consider me at 52 early. I don't think that was early. I think like minting and like maybe 0 to 10 Ethereum was early, right? But now the floor is 118. Yep. That's pretty early.
Still pretty early. So, right? Like, yeah, it's not even a year old.
Yeah. And I think we're going to see a 200-300 floor price in the next 9 months or less. I really do.
Check this out. I'm going to ask you this, right? Do I need to get a Bored Ape?
Oh, 100%.
100%.
I think so. Okay. Yes.
Say less.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Say less.
Here's why I think, because I'm in a similar predicament. I was talking with the guys at European Exotics here, one of the big supercar dealerships in the Southeast, and I was looking at a Rolls Royce and a Ferrari
casually, right?
But I'm looking at these cars and I'm like, I would really like these cars, but here's the thing, I'd rather have a Bored Ape, and that was it, right? Like, it's just because I don't see, the cars aren't going to appreciate. Mm. So the only value proposition is, then can I drive up to a business meeting in this and the car be the sole fact that I land the business deal? Mm-hmm. In that case, it's all worth it. Mm-hmm. In which I think I can do that, but will it generate even more than the Bored Ape? I don't know, right? Because if like let's actually think about that as a thought experiment. I pull up to a meeting in which I have to close a guy for $2 million for this new hedge fund. Mm-hmm. Is the car going to be the deciding factor? If so, then I'm a really bad salesman.
Hey,
so I mean, shit,
you can get your Uber Black. You can get your Uber Black and just pull up like big business.
Rent a limo and we're done, right? So I think the value proposition there is much less than having this NFT. And the NFT, it does. Now, is it going to impress your hedge fund investor? No, that's why they give the money to me, because they don't even understand it, right? Yep. But I think from the investment standpoint, it's just going to do so much more than the car will. And we're so young that we just don't need the car yet. And I'm a firm believer, like, my middle name's Royce, so I just want a Rolls Royce. Like, I'm not even a car guy. It's just meant to be, though. So.
Yeah, and you know, and also, man, like, you know, enjoy the fruits of your labor, man. Like, I'm a big believer for in that, sure. man. You know, like, you know.
Oh, exactly.
You know, just, hey, look, it's different strokes for different folks, but if you've done what you need to do in life, man,
I
like, you deserve,
agree.
You know, hey, you deserve deserve to get on that. You know, I've been in a Rolls Royce before.
yeah, it's
you
amazing.
Deserve to have the stars in the ceiling and be riding around. Hey, yeah. And don't feel like you're on the road.
No,
like,
it's great. No.
I mean, he's got three of them right there in his wallet. So, I mean, what are we talking about?
No, I completely agree. I go to steakhouses like twice a week. I'm 18 years old. There's no need for me to do that. But right. I want to. I don't care. It doesn't. It's fun.
No, 100%. Hopefully me and John will get the invite next
time. Let's do it for sure. Yeah. Listen, man.
Look, like crypto,
I love poker. I'm not even a good player, but I play high stakes because it's fun. There's a thrill element, and then we get to because of the crypto stuff, and that's what it's all about. I really think. I mean, it's really changing our lifestyles, and I think that's really really cool.
I love that, man. That's awesome. So you know, you're in college taking classes.
Yes.
You're so legendary.
You're a varsity athlete, and you're creating a hedge fund.
Yes. Yeah. That's the biggest thing right there.
Again, how do you have time for all this?
It's a lot of time management for sure. But I mean, it's the same thing that I was doing in high school. I mean, you get up at 6 to 7 and you're being productive for like pretty much until midnight. And you know, a lot of that turns into like 2 a.m. when you're sitting on OpenSea all day, right? But like, that's what happens. I mean, you can check the timestamp. I bought my ape at like 2 a.m. yesterday. That's what it is. It was worth it.
No, seriously, I do a floor check before I go to bed every night. A little floor check.
Dude,
what's going on here?
It's an interesting progression, right? Like, the first thing I used to do when I'd get out of bed in middle school is like check Snapchat, right? Then in high school, it'd be like, all right, maybe I check my emails. And now it's like I check OpenSea. Yeah. And that's what it is. Like, that's the progression, right?
I look at my phone and it's like, boom, boom, boom.
I swear, it's OpenSea before emails now. That's what it is.
No, it's like, let's see that floor.
Let's see that floor.
Yeah.
When I saw the Bored Ape floor price at like 116, I swear it skipped like 105 to 110. It just jumped. It was unbelievable.
It went from 83 to like 94, like, and then so boom, fast. It was 116. I'm like, wait, what happened?
I know. It was ridiculous. The floor was at 94 when I got my second ape. I got it for 100. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm up 15% in less than 48 hours? That's pretty cool. that was great,
shabby,
right?
Not too shabby.
No, I mean, it's incredible. So are you, with your, you know, hedge fund, are you guys going to do, is it going to be all just, obviously it's going to be all crypto. But
yeah, it's going to be very, very simplistic. So I had a meeting with my lawyers yesterday. So the thing is, it's all about the regulation. What do the tax guys want? There's so many intricacies that I, as just a crypto guy that doesn't even have a business degree, I don't understand and I don't know the depth of it yet. Mm-hmm. But we're working very closely with them. I mean, I got this guy literally researching all day for me. We have a meeting tomorrow for following up. And this is, it's very, very simple what we're trying to do. So the goal right now is just that we have these accredited investors that know nothing about crypto and they want to get in, but they don't feel confident themselves. So they give me the money. Great. Now, what am I going to do with it? Very, very simple. What we're going to do is I'm talking basic. We're going to have a Coinbase account and a Coinbase Pro account. That's it. Like, I'm not even trying to use like a decentralized wallet. I don't want to use Uniswap because that scares these guys. They want centralized. And as much as I don't like it, they're giving the millions, not me. 100%. So it's fine. Right. So we're going forward with this and it'll be strictly discretionary long. We're not using systematic trading. Like, don't even get me started on discretionary short. It's not happening in this market, right? So discretionary long is what we're doing, right?
You guys can Google all of that. We're not going to sit here and explain. Just Google that. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's very simple stuff. But that's the strategy. And I mean, we're going to do this. They know the risk associated. I know hopefully what the rewards are going to be. I mean, I'm genuinely thinking for like 30 to 40% is going to be our minimum. And that's why they pay the 2 and 20 fee structure, because we're going to crush it, right? And if you can't afford the risk, then we don't want you on the team. Like, it's a $250,000 minimum. That's what this is. It's very aggressive cryptocurrency investing. Crypto is already aggressive in itself, right?
Oh,
so, I mean, we're going to do some big numbers, big volumes for sure. But it's going to be a little bit of luck.
It's going to be a ride.
But I mean, I've been in it for 4.5 years. I'm fine if we see down 50% in one day. We're going to still crush it.
If you see where these new like casinos are being built, these new things, you know what they have? A crypto trading floor.
Yeah.
Like this is what's going on. So like it's, like you said, right now I think this is where you want to, because eventually I think crypto probably becomes similar to stock games, right?
Yeah.
Good year, bad year. 30%, 20%, 10%, 50%. If you're just a
down the line, it most definitely will
moderately
be
conservative.
Right now, we just don't have enough volume. Like, as much as it is big, it's minuscule when you compare it to the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. And that's just America, right?
Yeah, so
it is very small. So
by that time, I mean, you're probably a billionaire and you'll be, you know what I'm saying? We'll be coming over to the crib, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, so that's dope, man. Yeah. Having a hedge fund and being this young, man,
it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Can't like say how impressed
I am. The one
I
thing I'm going to have to check on though is it easy from a regulatory standpoint to invest in NFTs with the hedge fund?
That's
going to be the big question. Because it's only discretionary long, but if we can do NFTs, oh my goodness.
And here's the
other thing. 10 Bored Apes in the Shepherd Crunch Capital hedge fund?
I'm not sure of the product.
It's crazy, bro.
The site that offers this, but I saw somewhere that you can essentially like put it's like a prediction market for the Bored Ape like floor. So you can essentially have like monetary exposure to the Bored Apes without actually purchasing.
Sounds pretty cool to me.
One of the NFTs. Which that it might be like, I don't know like how much it's been done in the past.
Yeah.
Which
And my only concern with that would be like the big volume that would come in, right? Well,
and here's the other thing.
Who's paying for that when the Bored Apes hit 200 ETH, right?
Well, this is the other thing is like, you know, if it's a prediction market, say it's like, are Bored Apes going to be above or below this certain floor?
Well, yeah, you could run it just like sports betting.
You could have one person that puts it and that makes the floor that low, you know? So it's like, you know, it's interesting, but you know, that was going to be, my next question was.
Yeah.
So you're trying to answer the
most question. Definitely want to, yes. It's just I don't know how difficult it's going to be. And the biggest problem is that when you look at this institutional investing, even though I still feel like an individual, right? When you look at it from that standpoint, there is so much that's unknown. And that's why a lot of these institutions aren't doing it, right? There's not clarity from the tax standpoint.
Right.
I mean, like, if I go to tax, I wish it'd be simple. But if I went to a bunch of tax specialists and I had to bet, I would say that I'd get different advice from each one of them.
Right.
And that's not a 100%. Good thing. If you went to securities or any other market, they'd all say the same thing.
Right.
But because it's so new, because there's new stuff coming out every single day and half these people don't do their research, it's just unknown. And that it's such a gray area that you can kind of do whatever you want, but then you run the risk of can you back it perfectly when you get audited?
Right.
And if you're running a $10 million fund, you have to expect it's going to happen, right? So that's why we have to tread very carefully. And I'm leaning conservatively, which again, it's ironic in crypto because nothing's conservative in crypto, but that's what we're kind of going to do. And we're going to have to take it easy, but it's aggressive.
They'll come out with some cool rules. I'll say cool because they're going to get their, you know, cut. They'll come out with some cool rules and regulations and, you know, it'll at least give you some type of clarity. And, you know, I also think too, when the boys do come in and, you know, crack the whip and kind of see what's going on in the space, you know, it could actually leave room for it to boom even more, right? Because then you're going to have those guys.
I think it will, because then you have the big funding.
Like myself, who's like, ooh, the stocks did do pretty well since 2018.
It's time.
Do I want to pull out of this portfolio? Like now I have a clear path on, okay, this is what happens if I take my earnings, you know, so it's going to be, but I don't think it'll be a 50% rate. I know that, right? Maybe though. Maybe I'll have to move to Puerto Rico. You might have to move to Puerto Rico, bro.
If they do that, you know, they're going to have a lot of people.
No, because that's the thing. They have to find a way in which people are still going to stay. I mean, it's the same thing as if taxing the 1%, right? If you really squeeze them, they're going to go to the Grand Cayman. Like that's what's going to happen, right? And you know they're still living here. They're taking the businesses there.
Yeah.
And that means you're taking the employees. It's not going to hurt the 1%. It never will.
Yeah.
The 1% always finds a way, right? And so you're looking at it the same way from crypto. Like, you're going to hurt the fish in the market. You're not going to hurt the big dogs. I'm telling you, you're not. Like, it won't happen. The people with more than a couple million involved, they have it taken care of. They do. And if not, you're just going to have a bunch of guys committing tax fraud. And I'm not saying like I'm going to do it or anything, but I'm saying that's what will happen.
100%.
Those are the numbers. If you look back to 2014, I think it was maybe it was a little bit earlier. I might have my year off. But if you looked back to that time period and looked at the number of wallets that had realized gains and compared it to the tax information, it was less than 5%. Less than 5%, right? Of course, the number's more now.
Yeah.
But if you really push people, the number will get closer to 5% and not further. And I think that's a very fine line that they have to figure out. And they have to get these specialists involved in an industry that's only roughly 10 years old. So that is the problem. And that's why they're on it, right?
You might get a phone call from some regulatory agency like, hey, man, can you come check us out? Hey, show us what you're doing. What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, they got to talk to people in the space, right?
Yes.
To understand, you know?
No, 100%. I think think, you know, that those conversations like should be happening, and I think we'll see them like increase as the, you know, year goes on, and, you know, even leading up to like the next election. Like, I think, you know, for the next election cycle, that like crypto is for the first time going to be like a huge.
I actually think it will. Yeah. And I agree. I mean, we saw it just a couple months back when it was first introduced in a big way. In Congress. Yes.
Infrastructure bill.
Exactly. Yeah. All that stuff. Yeah. But they were like, they had a guy in there speaking to Congress about Web3. You would never think that 6 months ago, but it happened, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those are our Congress people, right? So I think it's very interesting. And the space is moving quickly.
Go ahead.
And I guess just, you know, from a big picture perspective, you know, just the NFTs, like, I feel like they have to figure out regulation on them, because once you like sort out the regulation on investing and buying and selling these, that is when we are going to be able to really see the full real world use cases that NFTs give us the possibilities. I'm talking like ticket sales. I'm talking home,
I think that's
sales,
huge. Yeah.
Jewelry.
I think cars, it's definitely happening. Shoes. And I agree with those viral videos of Gary Vee and everything saying like all airplane tickets are going to be NFTs in less than 10 years. Yeah. I think it actually will be though. Yeah. I mean, when you look at it and what's happening, most of it's online anyway already. So if you just take that and then expand it, and then the fact that you get that digital collectible. I mean, think about your parents. Like, how many people have tickets to different shows and stuff like in their memory box? A lot of people, right? Now you make it digital and that you don't have to have these pieces of paper lying around.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. I really think. And then it introduces the secondary market, of course. And every single one, it benefits the people that put it together. Those royalties are huge. I think it's good. Mm-hmm. As much as I hate paying them, like being part of them, it benefits them rather than just like anyone, right? Mm-hmm. Like, think about the house sales right now. What if a builder that builds a house, now it's 3%, right, for the realtor fees. What if that 3% is distributed properly to the people that built the house or had the idea, the blueprints, the creative designers?
Right.
That's big utility. It really
just
is, right?
Just a 1%, just a little chunk
and
of...
Back. Continues to build over and over. I mean, it's huge. That's why everyone's saying like the real money in NFTs is being the creator, not the buyer. And I mean, I agree. I mean, like, Bored Apes are huge, of course, and you're going to make it. But I do agree. I mean, you look at like Flyfish Club and what Gary Vee's doing. I mean, that's ridiculous, bro. He charges 10%. He doesn't care because he's Gary Vee.
Yeah.
And guess what? People are still going to buy it. It's sold out. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And there's an aftermarket too. He's killing it. I know. It's don't even get me started. It's ridiculous. But he did it because he knew that he had the influence, and whether he's taking advantage of people or not, he did it. That's the bottom line, right? And there's a resale market, and anyone could have done it, right? It's not hard. Anyone, being in anybody, you can talk to your most influential friend and get their most influential friend, and you can get a community together and try and make something happen. I mean, I'm contemplating with some MLB guys myself. I may start a collection in the next 6 months, but honestly, I got to focus on this fund first. But I like the idea. I really do. I mean, it's royalties forever. All you have to do is make sure that you have that initial sellout. That's all you have to do, right? And I'm not saying that to make it sound easy, but it is simple. Like, there's no complexity there. You just have to make it happen, right?
I think the you know, we talk to a lot of, you know, project founders, you know, just in our NRN and the Discord and on some of the other podcasts, on Non-Fungible Podcast and Cryer and RSG on Nerd FT. But, you know, from the guys that I've talked to, it seems like, you know, obviously anybody can launch a project. You know, it's not too difficult to find somebody to, you know, set up a smart contract and, you know, all that. But it's like the projects that are going to be, you know, viable, those project teams are working like their asses off.
Non-stop.
And like all those royalties they get, like, they are investing.
They're reinvested for sure.
Back into the, to your point, like with the builders, like if they're able to get those royalties and kind of invest those back, I mean, it'll probably, you know, have their costs come down and like,
it's huge,
you know, we'll be just better overall.
I mean, like, they'll be a corporation eventually, right? It'll be like, you know, the Doodles corporate, like they'll have a office, like, and you know, everything will kind of run through there, and you know, it'll just, which I think is the future.
I think they already have Doodles LLC.
Exactly.
And on Doodles, like on OpenSea, this is like by Doodles
LLC. Yeah, like, you know, they're probably, you know, got a workspace somewhere where they got, you know, a few offices, but you know, I think I'm excited about the future. I mean, you know, we're in it pretty deep, you know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? More so our minds than our pockets, but you know, we're slowly building
our
up
minds,
our
his mind.
Yeah. We're slowly building up and I'm still, you know, I'm still on the fence as far as, you know, I'm looking at other projects and I'm just trying to stack ETH, you know, yeah. What I mean? Cause I see a lot of people in the space that have a lot of ETH they've stacked up and that's how they really earn that money and get into those great projects. Cause now you can just click, right? Like it's a little different when you got to wire 200K from Fifth Third to Coinbase and then you got to wait 24 hours. Floor goes up 10. Like it's a little difficult. You know what I mean? But
that was life. The biggest thing. It's ironic again. Like you look at ETH and you view it as liquidity.
Right.
And it's not,
in this marketplace. Yeah. Like it's easy.
So
right?
I guess just talk to us about that. You know, obviously, you know, you talked a lot about how you bought the debt heavy in 2018.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know, I feel like a lot of people in the crypto space recently, within the last, let's call it year, 2 years, have been talking about the potential of a super cycle. Where do you kind of, you know, obviously I think it's, probably safe to say that, like, you know, this year wasn't a super cycle from going from, Bitcoin.
So
and
super cycle, super but, cycle, explain.
So I'm saying like, you know, like,
just for, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the viewers.
Yeah.
Typically, so we'll back up. And
you got it.
Yeah.
So Bitcoin halving. So yes. Bitcoin halving, I'm not going to go fully and explain that, but it happens basically every 4 years. Those halving periods basically lead into a bull run.
Yeah.
Typically, you know, you'll have, I would call it like 2 years bull, 2 years bear,
that's what it says,
leading into the next halving.
And you have that
period,
24
month
period.
So, you know, this is why in the historical crypto price action, you know, you see Bitcoin 2013 come up, 2014, 2015 came down, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2020, you know, so that is what I mean by, you know, the cycles. So the fact that, you know, with, you know, global adoption increasing in both, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, NFTs, just digital assets in general, where do you see the potential of a super cycle? And do you think that people are premature on talking about that?
Or? I think they're almost always premature, but I'll kind of go back to some of the fundamentals you were saying just right then and there. This is all driven by scarcity, right? And those block rewards get cut in half and it happens every 4 years and people realize that this is more scarce and it's more deflationary. And at least, even if the economic model is bad in the long run, when you look at it just as a pure device of money, right? I mean, deflationary is not necessarily sustainable, but it is as what it tries to be, right? Bitcoin is not trying, like, even if you can make the argument that it is, but it's not trying to replace US dollars in my mind, right? It's just too inefficient for that. But I think that it can still serve an amazing purpose in this economy, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you look at it from that view and you really like kind of just view the model that happens every 4 years, I think the whole super cycle model, I think people say that whenever we're green and then people say we're in a bear market whenever we're red. And when you really zoom out, most of it is irrelevant, really. I mean, like when I think back, I like just over these last 4 years, I see 2017 as that big run, right? I don't even look at 2019 anymore. 2019 had a small little bull run. Let's look at it, right? 18, it crashed, right? And in 19, we hit 13K that summer. It might have even been 14K. That if you were in that year, that was the bull run, right? But when you zoom out, that is completely ignored. Because guess what? That was smashed in between a 20K and 17 and then 64K, right?
Yeah.
So no one even looked at 13K.
Right.
So when you're looking at these super cycles, a lot of people, it's emotion and it goes back to that emotion that's driving these decisions. I mean, I view it as we hit 64K, right? And if you zoom out again and look at kind of in 2021, right? So this is after it's taking off in 2022, 2021 happens, right? And we fall back in 2021 after we hit those peaks in 60, right? So what happens is Tesla releases, we're crushing 40K, we hit 50K, 60K, and then it pulls back. And we're back in 40 and change. And everyone was laughing and everything, because this is after Tesla basically killed everything, right? And everyone was laughing and saying, Elon. I know, right? Everyone's blaming Elon. And I'm like, listen, like, this market does not depend on Elon. It doesn't matter. Like, Doge is Doge. Yes, we get it, right? But like, this is huge, right? It doesn't matter what's happening in the short term. And so that was your minor dip to buy. But if you just zoom out, again, it's all irrelevant. All you needed to know was that it peaked at 64K and now it's well, well below that, right? So when you and if you looked at the confidence on that, if you looked at Bitcoin confidence, and I guess you can call that RSI if you want to, right? But if you look at it in January 2022, right, we were hovering around 40K January right here, 40K in January 2021. Everyone was jumping up and down. This was amazing, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you advance 12 months in the exact same price tag, ignoring the price action in between, people hate it. And right. It's crashing and it's low. The amount of times I've been playing poker against guys that know nothing about crypto and they're saying, the market's down, you're losing money, it's dying. And I'm like, don't worry about it, buy, right? Like it's like, all good. Yeah. Like I just had $500,000 wired in yesterday. It's making it work, right? Yeah, like I'm up 20% in the last 48 hours because the market's so low, right? Yeah. Get in. And of course they don't listen like always, but, but when you look at that strength in the sense that there is no strength right now and the market's still just as good as it was in 2021, I think you can ignore that term super cycle and just look at it on the four-year scale and say, listen, 2025, 2024, we're going to crush it regardless. And six-figure Bitcoin is going to be small, right? Mm-hmm. That, I mean, like six figures in general, right? I'm saying like 100K is going to be small, right? So I think the importance there is to really just zoom out and focus on like the same price action, the price models, all the little analysis, which you can write it off as nothing or important. That's up to you, right? But I think it's important to just zoom out and realize that it doesn't even matter.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it too, man, to kind of explain to people how it works, man. Because, you know, I even to kind of open my eyes because my boy got an Ethereum and it was like 1700. And he went to 21. He's like, I mean, I got it at 17. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? And that's how, you know, if you got in when Bitcoin was 40 and went to 60, you're like, oh, I was in at 40.
Yeah.
Be okay. Right? So that's dope.
No, 100%. I guess I'm interested. What do you use in terms of indicators when you're trading? You know, you don't have to. If you've got proprietary. No.
Don't give too much info, bro. Like, look, man. You know, hey, look. If they want more info, he's got a fund, $250K.
That's what I say. I can't give you the secret sauce.
Yeah.
But I've really, again, it's hundreds and hundreds of hours over these years, right? So you can name an indicator, and I've probably used it genuinely. Mm. But honestly, I do enjoy the RSI as much as it's like almost a meme at this point, right?
Yeah.
I do think it's a strong indicator, right? But the thing is, you don't need the indicator. You can tell when the market's weak and when it's strong. It's very simple. You can scroll. I promise you, you could scroll through Instagram or Twitter, look at the posts, and you can guess the RSI plus or minus 10. Mm-hmm. I promise you. Mm-hmm. If you do this long enough, it's the back of your hand, right? Like it's really that simple.
Yep.
But I kind of used it all. Like I've done Fibonacci, I've done Bollinger Bands, I've done the moving averages, the exponential stuff. I've done all of it. I'm not going to say that it's all a Fugazi or that it's all not. You can make your own opinion on that, right? You want to think it's Wolf of Wall Street, it means nothing, go for it. And likewise, if you base everything off of it, you could still lose money. In fact, like most of you will. Those are the stats, right? Like you can use all the indicators in the game and sit there for 9 hours a day and you're still going to probably lose money. That's why the market sucks and it's hard and you should just buy and hold or buy SPY, right? Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I just know that I'm successful. Like, I don't know, right?
I treat it too like, you know, I always like people, you know, ask me about basketball, right?
Yes.
And it's kind of like, you know, what did you do? And it's kind of like with you as far when you were 14, right? Doing the research, like, bro, when I was younger, I would play basketball. I'd go to school.
Exactly.
I'd practice. I didn't really have a life. I'd play more basketball. Summers were taking up a weekends or taking up a game. So like, it's a similar thing. And when you're gifted in something, it's not like, I don't care how much research I do. Yeah. I could never be where you're at, in my opinion, just as far as, because you have a gift, right? And I think that's a gift of just, understanding,
but it's the exact same thing. Just like you said, like when you're in high school and all you do is play basketball. Yeah. This is all I did. Like, I had hobbies, but I did not go out on the weekend.
For sure.
Like, I did not go party with friends, and that's not necessarily a regret of mine. You know, I'm partying now. I love college.
Yeah, no, I mean, you don't have
but I've got a great time now, right?
But
I think that sacrifice was worth it. Yeah. I think you would agree. Yeah. And if you did the exact same thing, you would do it all over again.
100%.
Go crush it in basketball, right? And so you have to look at it from that standpoint, and that sacrifice makes it worth it, right?
Right. No, I agree, man.
That's awesome.
got a little prodigy. I mean, Like I said, 10 years. I'm, 10 years from now, 10 years. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see where this goes, man.
After the pod, we might have to talk about, you know, maybe getting you involved in the NRN Discord.
Yeah, man.
I think you might be able to, you know, pick some stuff up.
I think in 10 years, it'll be hard to, not because of you. I think you'll just have so much going on your plate, man. It'll be hard to kind of get that good alpha from you, man. So we're going to try to steal as much as we can now.
Go ahead. I'm always down to take a meeting. I tell that to anyone. People like literally have no money and no idea how to invest. Mm. I will always take a meeting. Like literally, I'm about to be a hedge fund manager and I'll sit down with you for 30 minutes. Mm. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's just, are you going to take that knowledge? Any application, it could be very small or very big.
Yep.
And are you going to actually apply it? And the facts are that most people won't. Right. And that's the difference between the winners and losers in this market. And there's nothing you can do to change that. Right. It's up to the individual.
100%. So, you know, like one of the first conversations I had with Cryer down in Miami was just about that fact and just like, you know, onboarding people. And you know, specifically for us, it was like for NFTs.
Yeah. I thought that was great. Like I had the MetaMask. You could check. I had my MetaMask since like May or April or something. Right. But I never purchased anything. So what did I do? I called a guy who had purchased stuff. And I knew that you knew something about this space. And whether you knew a ton or not, right? You have a podcast. You can talk about it for hours and hours and hours on end, right? So you know something, right?
Yeah.
And so that's all anyone needs to do. And the resources are out there. You can call any, like people are a phone number away, an Instagram DM. Maybe you get left on red or unread. Just move on to the next. There's hundreds and hundreds of people out there, right? I guarantee you there's a crypto bro out there that doesn't shut up about it that you know, right? So just go talk to him.
100. I mean, that was me. I mean, that's how we met. I met at a concert. Yeah. And I was like, yo, bro, like, what's up? Like, I'm Max. Like, I do full-time NFTs and crypto.
I said, you found the right guy. I was like, I said, you found the right guy because I'm in it too. Like, there you know what I mean? So.
No, it's funny. But it's funny, dude. I've had that conversation with, like, I feel like just random people at bars. And they're just like, fuck NFTs, like
I know,
that's some like scam.
I saw someone in a hotel with a shirt that said NFTs are a scam. And I just wanted to say something so bad. I was like, I'm gonna let you walk.
That's so funny. Spared his life.
Let him off the hook.
No, that's awesome. Jackson, I think we're gonna have to wrap it up here. You probably got like, you know,
no problem.
Ten meetings to run through and look, man, and some other stuff.
So impressive.
Bro, I mean, just you're just a legend in the space.
Appreciate
it. You know, looking forward to, you know, continue to pick your brain and
absolutely and, you
know,
anytime
converse with you and, you know, definitely get invited to one of these steak dinners.
Thanks for taking the time as always, man. I mean, shit. But,
you know, before we get out of here, let everybody know where, you know, they can follow you on social media, where they can go, you know, purchase your book.
And, yeah, for sure. You know, so
anything else you want to plug?
Brand new book at The Crypto Kid, right? You can find it on Amazon, any bookstore nationwide. And then my socials, I'm very active on, actually, I mean, I'm just on them all the time. I really don't even post that much. But at Jackson Shembekar on Instagram, last name Shembekar. And then Twitter at Jackson Shemby. Twitter's definitely towards the NFTs. You can see all the Bored Apes on there.
Honestly, that's what everybody, most of
that's what we use for business. Yeah.
DJs are Twitter guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Big on Twitter. But no, that's awesome. My book is in the mail. So nice. I'm looking forward to reading that. I'll have to grab one for you,
Jackson. Oh my God, sneeze.
Dude, unbelievable to have you on. I mean, it's almost like I'm jealous of you. Like,
No.
You got into crypto when I wish I had gotten it.
Oh yeah, I hear you.
I mean, that's fantastic. So
yeah,
you know, as always, hopefully we'll have Jackson on. You know,
for sure
at some point. He's over here, right here in Tampa. So we're fortunate. So we'll definitely get you back.
We'll have to do updates and stuff.
Maybe some you know, like an alpha
check. Let's make it happen.
You know, a charting session. But, you know, as always, you guys can follow us on Twitter at bboyspod and Instagram at blockchain_boys. And go follow us on YouTube. Go follow our channel, like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. And we will see you
on TikTok.
Oh yeah, we got
TikTok. TikTok.
We got TikTok now. I believe it's.
We gonna look it up real quick.
I think it's B-Boys Pod. I try to make it one of the same. Or it's blockchain_boys.
Probably turn it off.
It's blockchain_boys.
Okay.
So, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, all podcasts. Let's get it.
Let's do it.
See you guys next week.